Director Amezcua should probably have to party since she's vice chair.
Yeah, Director Amezcua,
I'm here.
Chair Yeo asked me to lead the meeting since he was in transit. Do you want me to do so?
Yes, please do.
All
Thank
right. If others show, then I might get booted into the hallway.
you.
We'll go from there if that
We
happens.
won't let them boot you.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'll call to order the Administration Finance Committee here in Conference Room C2 on Thursday, January 15th. Can I do the roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Yeo, Director Amezcua,
Present.
Director Nguyen, Director Jung, Director Green,
Yes.
Director Wigand,
Yes, here.
Director Tran,
Here.
Director Meeks,
Here.
Director Sheldon,
Here.
Director Bilodeau. We do have a quorum of the committee.
Okay, great. Are there any items too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay, good. And now is the time for visitor participation. Seeing nobody in here, is there anyone online that wish to address us? Being no hands raised, I will move on to consent calendar items 1 through 7.
Move the consent calendar.
I have a motion from Director Green.
I'll second.
Director Amezcua, a second. Do the roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Amezcua.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wigand.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
My motion carries 5-0.
Okay, great. Now it's time for matters for consideration. Item number 8 is the base and production percentage and replenishment assessments estimates for fiscal year 26-27.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is something we do every January. Right now, we're actually in the process of preparing our budget for fiscal year 26-27, and we'll present that to the board in March. But the producers ask us for an early estimate of what next year's RA and VPP could be because they're also starting to prepare their budgets. So every January, we put out a preliminary RA and VPP for the next year. And Chris and Randy, I think, are going to tag team on this presentation.
Yeah. Thank you, John. And you basically just covered my first slide of background here. So thank you for that. So like John mentioned, we'll talk about it again in March, but then the April 15th board meeting will be to establish the BPP and the RA. And we will say that yesterday at the producers meeting, we did this presentation, shared it with them, and it was very positive feedback. It was well accepted, and they liked the numbers that we showed. So we'll get into the base and production percentage and showing the accumulated overdraft. So the last fiscal year that ended on June 2025, we had the overdraft at 183,000 acre feet. If you remember, that was a pretty dry year. We had about 6 inches of rain compared to the year previous, which ended up with the accumulated overdraft around 133,000. So bring that up because from dry to average to wet, it can be about a 50,000 acre foot swing between them. But this year, based on average precipitation, we're looking at the overdraft would be in the 174,000 acre foot range. Here is a graph showing historical BPP for the last 26, 25 years. And I just want to point out over the last 16, the BPP has either remained the same or increased. There's been no reduction of the BPP. So pumping's been good, basin's been in great condition. More about the BPP currently at 85%. We have had more groundwater pumping increase with PFAS treatment systems being online. We've said it recently, there are 53 wells that are back online operational with PFAS treatment. Groundwater basin in general is very good condition. There are imported water supplies. We can purchase untreated meltwater if we choose to. We just aren't doing it right now. There's not a need. And just given the fact that we've already had 12 inches of the average 13 and a half rain so far, it's not likely it would happen this summer, but it is always a possibility and it's an option available for us. More on BPP. We are seeing overall total water demands have been declining, looking at that graph to the right. So as I mentioned, we expect to maintain the BPP at 85%. We're looking at the pumping for next fiscal year would be in the 299,000 acre foot range. Just for context, this year we had estimated 297,000. just recently, we're tracking a little bit under that, and it's probably because of early rains that happen. People turn off their irrigation. We're also assuming that the producers will continue pumping even with the EPA MCL, and that's because there's still a time frame that they have that they're capable of pumping. The new notification level is 4 parts per trillion, so they would have to notify for that, or maybe they did already with the RL and then the notification level. So we're assuming that they're going to keep pumping in, and in fact, they are the ones that are affected by that. So looking forward, we would the accumulated overdraft would decrease by about 8,000 acre feet with average hydrology. And the way that looks for the upcoming 26-27 fiscal year, here's the groundwater basin balance. It's Santa Ana River base flow. Again, these are average hydrology. We're looking at 74,000. The hydrology kicks in when you're looking at storm flows, average of 72,000, incidental recharge 30,000, GWRS, other is Alamitos barrier. So total water into the basin, 307,000 acre feet, pumping at 299. That's to the good, a gain of 8,000 acre feet. So it just puts us at a spot where if July is 174,000, then the following June 30th would be that 8,000 better, which puts it at 166,000 acre feet. That 50,000 acre foot swing I mentioned, if it's a very wet year, it would be even better, right? If it's very dry, you could see that it could be overdrafted to 216,000, which was indicative of the 2-year gap before when it went from 133 to 183. It was a drier year. So we just like to show that and what that swing, what that range could be based on wet, average, and dry years. And then we're going to get into RA, and Randy's going to go through this.
Great, thanks, Chris. So the replenishment assessment. So staff's preparing the full budget as we speak. We're all the department heads are putting their numbers together. We're accumulating it. We'll prepare a full budget book, present that to the board at the first meeting in March, and then we're also continuing to accumulate funds for the second phase of the PFAS treatment facilities. And that's 44 wells, somewhere between $270 million-$300 million is what we need to accumulate. And accumulating that via grants, maximizing that, the legal settlements that we're receiving. And then we want to try to avoid long-term debt. So paying for it through settlements, grants, and RA revenues. And then, of course, maintaining our AAA per board policy, making sure those metrics are strong. So other considerations in these numbers we're showing. Right now, we have a placeholder for the general fund, a little over $100 million. We're projecting that to go up by 3% in the numbers that we're presenting now. Of course, that'll be refined as we get all these numbers together and we roll through and evaluate them. Everybody meets with John through each number, line by line, and we'll see where it comes out. Right now, there's a placeholder of 3% in the numbers that we're showing.
Close are you usually?
Pretty close. Pretty close. These numbers include a $4.9 million amount for PFAS O&M. A slight increase in what we have from this year's budget. And then 7% increase in the R&R fund contribution. We normally increase that by 7% each year. Not only the current year's R&R, but then projecting that out 25 or 30 years. So we want to make sure we have a good amount as the plant ages and our infrastructure ages that we can adequately maintain it. Good thing is we already paid down our commercial paper debt that we had outstanding. So in July of 2025, this fiscal year, we paid off the remaining CP. So that's an amount that we don't have to budget for 26-27. And then increasing the water purchases from Metropolitan Water District for untreated water. This year in the budget, we have 5,000 acre feet. We're proposing to increase that 5,000 acre feet of purchases to 20,000 acre feet. And if those water monies are not spent on water, it'll stay in the water reserve fund for future years. Like this year is going to be a tough year to buy water, probably not going to buy any water given the recent rain activities that we've had.
We're looking pretty good.
And then reducing the amount that we're collecting through the RA for PFAS treatment facilities projects. So this year we have almost $60 million in the budget for those treatment facilities capital. Next year, we're proposing to reduce that by $20 million, largely due to the amount we're getting for grants and legal settlements. So we're really ramping that down and then increasing the amount of money we're collecting for other projects other than PFAS, mainly Sunset Gap. It's going to be a big project. We want to collect money now so that we can avoid long-term debt in the future. So the RA increase would be from $711 to $728, a $17 increase is what we're showing right now, or a 2.4% increase. So with that, the recommendation is to provide the fiscal year 26-27 RA and BPP estimates to the groundwater producers along with any additional comments. And the BPP would stay at 85%, as Chris talked about, and the RA would increase to $728 an acre foot. And that concludes the presentation. Great. With that, we can take questions.
Chris, thank you. Director Green, do you have anything?
No. Any directors online? I wish to ask any questions. Yes, Director Meeks. You're on mute, though.
Thanks. I mean, we're probably not going to have to buy water this year if we continue to have a good year. And that money will go into, you said, the water reserve fund. What happens to that money? I mean, I'm okay with being conservative in our budgeting, but if we're conservative every year and that money builds up, what happens to that money? How much money is in there now?
Yeah, so Director Meeks, right now, we have about $18 million in the water fund. It'll probably go up to about $20 million by the end of this fiscal year. Then next year, we're recommending to budget 20,000 acre feet, which has a cost of about $20 million. At the end of next year, if we did not buy any water, the water fund would go from $20 million to $40 million. We like that, the producers like that, because if we just have one dry year, the groundwater basin could be overdrafted by 50,000 acre feet. It would cost $50 million to build the basin back up. So now we rarely carry a big balance in the water fund, but I think it is a good practice to have like $40 to $50 million in there in case you do get a couple of dry years. You have money to try to refill the basin.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with that kind of balance or scenario, 40, 50 million. You know, if 3 years from now it's 100 million, I think we need to maybe figure out reductions or projects that need to be done or whatever that is. But yeah, I'm fine with the plan for this year. Thank you.
Just to further build on her question, when was the study that was going to be done to determine the overdraft, if that level was where it's at or if it could go beyond?
It's going on. It's moving slowly. Roy's group is doing a lot of work, and they've been working a lot on subsidence, because that's a key issue if you overdraft the basin more. And that's a hard issue. You know, we got to just bring back an update to the board this spring on where we're at. Yeah, we've been, and we'll promise to do that maybe in March or April.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Director Tran, I saw your screen come on. Do you want to ask a question?
I do. Regarding the 85% BPP, I know why we're keeping it at that percentage, but there were also talks that that percentage could be increased for the producers as well, individual producers, and that would change the I would think that would change the calculus, the financial calculus of the district, and have we even considered increasing the pumping?
Yeah, so that has been talked about at a producers meeting. And it is something potentially staff could recommend in the future. Right now, what I think the main issue is we still have a lot of producers. Last year, we had 8 producers last year who could not even pump up to the 85% BPP. And that's because they have a lot of wells shut down due to the PFAS issue.
Right.
So if we were to set the BPP higher, I would like to have a lot more producers to be able to actually achieve that higher BPP. In my mind, we're waiting for a lot of the second round of the PFAS work. We're waiting for that work to get done. That will allow producers to have more pumping capacity. And then at that time, we could maybe entertain raising the BPP higher, which would, and then most producers could benefit from that.
That's the current thought
anyway.
Right. Looking forward in the years ahead, if you can give us a general idea as to, once again, the savings of the financial reduction on the RA, if the BPP percentage is increased, say up to 90%, for example.
Yeah, so that would allow, there would be a little more pumping. And then that means when you calculate the RA, the denominator is higher and it allows the RA to be lower. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yes.
You sell more water, we can have the RA a little bit lower. The other thing you got to calculate is that some producers may still need to build more wells. And this is outside of the PFAS issue. Like Newport Beach right now is building another well to give them extra pumping capacity. And other producers may have to do that also to pump, say, 90%. And you need to factor in what is the cost of that new construction to allow producers to pump maybe 90%. So that's also in the calculation if we want to do that in the future or not.
Okay, very well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Director Tran. I just have one question, seeing no other hands up. What was the 23-24 difference in the change in the RA? So it was 17 from last two.
23-24?
Yeah, 23-24 to 24-25. What was just the change in our dollar amount?
It went from 624 to 687.
So 687 to 7.
Yeah, that was a 10% increase.
Yeah. Okay. So this one was 687 to 711 was.
This was $17.
It was 3.4% to this one.
687 to 711.
Okay. Yeah.
So a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just a touch more.
And that's kind of consistent, then that isn't that big of a jump, you know.
Not that big of a drop compared to
the producers seem to be happy with. And that's your indication so far as they seem to be.
Sure. This increase is really just to keep up with inflation.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Seeing any other questions, do I have a motion to
move the record?
Or is this just the receiving file?
It is to give it to the producers.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Okay, good. I have Director Green with the motion.
I'll second.
Director Meeks with a second. I call the roll.
Actually, Director Yeo logged in, so Meeks.
Okay. I withdraw my second.
Yes, second from another. Director
Mezcua
took it. Okay, perfect.
Okay, roll call. Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Mezcua?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wiegand?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
My motion carries 5-0.
Okay, great. This item is number 9, the extension of letter of credit for 2003A variable rate debt.
Thanks, Chris. So this is, once again, this is a letter of credit extension for the 2003A variable rate demand obligations the district has outstanding. It's a little under $130 million of debt. So the district is required to have a letter of credit to support its variable rate debt. It's in our documents in the trust agreement for the 2003As. So it is a requirement. And We originally obtained a Bank of America three-year letter of credit. We went out to RFP, and the reason being is prior to that, we had about a 10-year deal with Citibank, and they got out of the business of providing support and letters of credit. So we went out to RFP to B of A 5 years ago, and what we received was 34 basis points for the letter of credit on the $130 million of debt. And then we extended it, the letter of credit, 2 years ago for 2 years. So we're 5 years into an agreement with B of A to provide support for our variable rate debt. Now we're at the end of that 2 year period that we've extended. And now B of A has made an offer to extend the current letter of credit for two more years at the same rate of 29 basis points. And here's the proposed fees versus what we're currently paying. So here's our current fees. And then, of course, there's a benefit to being AAA. If we were to be downgraded to AA, for example, we would go from 29 basis points to 44 basis points. That's a little under $200,000 a year of additional cost. So this is an example of where AAA has good benefits for the district. And so here's the proposed fee. It's 29 basis points at our current ratings. And you can see that there's no change regardless of the rating. So they're keeping it consistent. And this is basically an extension of time that we're getting. So there's costs to both extending and finding a new bank. Now, with extending, we're estimating the fees about $37,000. We need our bank counsel to review, prepare resolutions for both the PFC and the district. They also need to review the amendment to the reimbursement agreement prepared by B of A's legal counsel, things like that. Rating agencies, we think there might be some nominal fees. They have to look at the transaction. Financial advisor, they need to help us with working with the rating agencies and preparing a good faith estimate, which is in the packet, things like that. Of course, we're on the hook for the bank's counsel, so there's a fee there also. Now, if we were going out to RFP like we did 5 years ago, there's a huge cost to that. We're estimating that to be about $350,000. So it's kind of a big deal. We need new legal documents. So our bond counsel is heavily involved. We also need to prepare an official statement. You've probably seen these before where we prepare these official statements, and it's a lot of work and there's a huge cost to it. So when you do a bank substitution, that needs to be prepared and sent out to the marketplace. And then our financial advisor, they're heavily involved. We need to prepare an RFP. Need to go out to various banks like we did 5 years ago and get, you know, their bids. So there's a lot more work in a bank substitution, which is why we're recommending to the lower cost and the additional efforts that we go with the LOC extension with B of A. Now, if we were to go to a bank substitution, given the high cost of issuance, we would need to come in with a bid of 17 basis points or less to make it worthwhile. That's not probably going to happen. Another reason why we want to do the LOC extension. When we went out 5 years ago, there was a range that we had, and this was 5 years ago. B of A, of course, was the lowest at 34 basis points at that time, and the highest was 72 basis points. And we've also looked at another rating agency, and they do a lot of variable rate debt, and we're a little lower than them, but we're right in line. So we think we have a pretty good rate. But 17, that would be a stretch, and that would just be to break even. So the advantages, like I said, there's a much lower cost of issuance to extending versus substituting bank. So we want to stick with B of A. And another advantage is the district can optionally terminate this agreement with 10 days notice. So if we don't like the way it's going, think we can do better. We can always get out of the two-year agreement. And the LOC that's expiring and extended has basically the same provisions that we had before. And as I mentioned, the RFP process was done 5 years ago, and the lowest that we received was 34 basis points on the $130 million in debt. And the range was 34 to 72 basis points. And we, of course, went with B of A, the low-cost provider. So with that, the recommendation for January 21st is to approve district resolution and execution of documents necessary to extend the current letter of credit and reimbursement agreement with Bank of America or the 2003A variable rate debt for a term of 2 years, consistent with the offer provided by Bank of America, and authorize the general manager to execute such documents, including minor changes requested by the rating agencies or other participants in the transaction, and authorize payment for the cost of issuance not to exceed $37,000. And we went blank.
Is there any way to move from variable to permanent rate? I don't know what you call it.
Fixed.
Yeah.
I believe we could do it. I think one advantage of the variable rate debt is we're financing a long-term debt with short-term rates, which is why it's pretty cheap. In fact, our most recent reset was 52 basis points or half a percent.
Okay.
That's pretty low. So when you take the letter of credit at 29 basis points plus our marketing fee of 3.5 basis points added to the low rate that we're paying, we're still at under 1% cost of debt on this debt. Whereas we fix it out, it's going to be much higher.
Oh, okay.
So,
but the variable rate can just jump.
It can, and so when I first started in 2008, it spiked, I think, to around 7%. But it came down quickly, and historically, it's been pretty low, well below the fixed rate debt.
Okay.
We do have reserves, like hedging that if interest rates go up, the reserves go up. Then our the revenue for our reserves would go up to match.
Yep. Right. Director Zhang, you're on. You have your hand raised.
Thank you, sir. Just want to announce my presence and excuse me for my tardiness. Also, I am happy to make the motion to move the item, sir.
Okay, great. I just had two questions. One is, every 2 years, is this better to do, or is it a 3 year or 4 year or 5 year better if this rate is good, or is that just there's so many variables in the change that
the longer you go, the more expensive it is.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
If they were to give us a longer deal, it would increase the cost. So we've been successful. It originally started at 34, then we went to 2, and it was lowered from 34 to 29. So we saved some money. Then we were able to negotiate a little bit with them, and we got them just to keep the rates the same, other than the fixed costs. Whereas if we went 3 or more, then our costs would increase.
Got it. Okay.
So we kind of like to reevaluate it and
sure.
See if we can keep our costs low.
And then what would the cost be to just have an RFP done just to get an idea without leaving the 2 year, but doing it just so we know what's out there?
If we wanted to go to do an RFP.
Just to do an RFP to see what the basis point ideas are out there that we could get. Would it make B of A mad by doing that?
Would it make them mad? I'm not sure. That's a good question. I think, Robert Poor, you're on, correct?
Yes, I am.
Financial advisor. So he helped us issue the RFP before.
That was done, 5 years ago?
5 years ago.
Like just having an RFP out there just to see what maybe in 2 years or a year from now, just so we know what other banks are. But you're saying you'd have to get to 17 just to break even.
Given the cost of issuance, if we were to substitute the bank.
Right.
So if we were to go with somebody else, there would be a big cost. We would have to do an official statement, new legal documents, working with, you know, a new bank. So, yes, it would be expensive to switch.
We would have to see a market shift in the world to know that there's a right, and that's where Robert probably would come in and be like, "Hey, you should throw out an RFP because we're seeing these trends in the
exactly.
market."
So they do a lot more of this type of stuff than we do, since they're dealing with other districts and other agencies. So we're just kind of dealing with our stuff.
What are you seeing out there, Robert?
Yeah, to add some color. Good afternoon. We completed a RFP process for another client that had AA plus ratings, and their cost was much higher, relatively speaking, than yours was. So we felt that that was a good barometer for where the market was. They were, I think, roughly 10 basis points. They were about 34 basis points. For a letter of credit. So higher than what B of A was offering you for about 5 basis points. And so we think that's, you know, that's the market right now. You know, if the market does shift and, you know, banks come in and out of the market and costs change based on the bank's cost of capital, if we thought there was an opportunity to get you a better price, yes, we would certainly do, you know, an RFP and go out to banks and get responses.
Okay, great. Yeah, you guys are on top of it. It's good that we have outside kind of counsel in this sense,
yes,
to kind of look to see what the market's telling us so that you know. But I'm good. I don't see another hand raised. And
I'll second.
Director Young made the motion with Director Green on the second. Call the vote, please.
Roll call. Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Aye.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Weigand?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay, great. Thank you. Item number 10 is an informational item. It's our monthly cash disbursement report.
Yeah, that's information is in the packet. Staff can answer any questions.
Okay, great. I will call for these items to all be agendized for our January 21st board meeting. Are there any directors' announcements or reports? Seeing none, general manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, great. We're adjourned. Thank you all for participating.